email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Next January will mark the 40th anniversary of the death of Thin Lizzy frontman Phil Lynott and some of his former bandmates, including Darren Wharton, are coming to Dublin's Three Arena to celebrate his life and music. And Darren Wharton is here in studio. How are you doing, Darren?
Fantastic, Ray. Thanks for having me.
This sounds like an amazing night.
It's going to be wonderful. It's all dedicated to Phil and the music of Thin Lizzy and the memory of the you know, his music and his legacy.
Yeah.
And to celebrate Thin Lizzy, you know, it's going to be brilliant.
Your band Renegade, we're going to talk about the fact that you played keyboards in Thin Lizzy.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that in a moment. But Renegade's going to be there. The RT Concert Orchestra is going to be there. It's all Thin Lizzy.
Yeah, your very own Dave Fanning's going to be there. We've got Grand Slam. We've got some friends that we've played with in the past. We've got Lawrence Archer, who's one of the former members of Grand Slam that Phil formed after Thin Lizzy. And we've got Ricky, my old friend from The Almighty. We've got Richard Fortus from Guns N' Roses. It's going to be a fun-packed house.
Yeah,
brilliant. Fantastic.
There'll be a lot of hair and a lot of guitars.
A lot of hair. There'll
be a lot of axe grinding.
Yes.
So tell us about what age were you when you joined Thin Lizzy?
Well, I was 18. Nice. I was very, very lucky. I had an audition on the Chinatown album. I got invited down there by a friend of Phil's, a guy called Joe Leach. I was playing in a club in Manchester, Dino's Bar and Grill in Manchester. And after Gary Moore left on the Queen tour, they were supporting Queen, Lizzy, in America, and Gary left. And then Phil pulled in mid-jaw for temporary fill-in to cover for Gary, which, you know, obviously mid-jaw would be the first to admit he couldn't stand in for Gary Moore on guitar. Not many people could.
Yeah.
So if to sort of make allowance for that, Phil put mid-jaw on keyboards. And then he realised he quite liked the sound of keyboards with the band. And then when Midge went off to join Ultravox, Phil put the feelers out for a full-time keyboard player. And I was the lucky man, the only man in the right place at the right time.
Yeah. And there was somebody else working in Dino's at the time.
Well, yeah, a good friend of mine. I don't know if many of your listeners watch Coronation Street. But
they do.
There was a young singer on the circuit then, a guy called Bill Tarmy, who went on to be Jack Duckworth in Coronation Street. And let me tell you, Bill was very suave, not the Jack Duckworth you'd know from the programme, but Bill was a great singer and very, very suave, handsome bloke. And he sort of put all that Jack Duckworth sort of character on as he developed his character.
Yeah, that's acting. Yeah. So you said, I'm off the Thin Lizzy. He said, I'm off to Coronation Street.
On the same night.
It was the same night. Yeah.
We both left the club at the same night.
So I'm fascinated by Phil Lynott. I think he's a genius. He had everything going on, his bass playing.
He did.
He's just what a front man. And then it's only in the last few years watching that documentary by Emer Reynolds. What was the name of it?
Songs for While I'm Away.
Yes.
Yeah.
I realised what a brilliant lyricist he was as well.
He was a poet. He was absolute, like you say, he was a genius. I don't even think Phil knew how good he was. I mean, because everything he touched seemed to turn to gold. You know, he wrote so many hits.
Yeah.
And it's difficult around a hit.
Yeah.
I've tried. It's really difficult. And Phil just had the touch and he had the magic and he had the charisma. It was he was a true rock star in every sense of the word.
Yeah.
And as soon as you met Phil, you went, oh my God, this guy is an absolute star.
Because we talk about star quality and the X Factor and auras and all that sort of thing. Yeah. And you were up close and personal. So
Phil had it.
He had it all.
He did. Yeah.
Isn't that brilliant?
Yeah, he was amazing.
Yeah, yeah. He had his
so was Scott Gorham and so was Brian Downey. They were all absolute. And Brian Robertson, you know, Gary Moore. I mean, Phil was blessed. He had some amazing musicians around him. And that magical sort of, you know, they call it that. Scott always calls it the magic foursome. Scott, because they had a beautiful period there with Robbo, Scott, Phil, and Brian Downey, and they made some amazing music together. You know, and I think really looking back at it, it was that era that sort of put that band onto such a global, you know.
You think that Live and Dangerous, their double live album, is still ranked, when you read all the polls and the charts and all that sort of thing, it's still ranked as one of the best live albums of all time.
Absolutely, and deservedly so. And I think, you know, there's not many frontmen I could say would even compete with Phil as a frontman. Maybe, you know, Freddie Mercury, Phil, you know, I could, John Bon Jovi maybe.
Bono.
You know, There's so many, but Phil was definitely up there for me in the top five.
Yeah. Ever. And the fact that he played bass, that's you know, not many frontmen play bass.
No, I mean, he was unique in so many ways.
And those leather trousers.
Leather trousers. He just had it all. And then the lovely thing about Phil, he was very humble as well. He wasn't the type of person that you would meet and go, there are people out there, as you probably know, that you meet him and you go, he's all right, but he's...
I know the type, yeah.
But Phil was a lovely... You know, what you saw is what you get.
He was quiet, wasn't he?
He had a lovely humility about him. But he was also fiery, you know. He walked on that stage and he could command 20,000 people in seconds, he'd have in the palm of his hand. But he had a fiery side. He was very passionate. He loved his family. He loved his children, his mother, his wife. And he loved his band. He loved Thin Lizzy.
Because in that documentary and People, it's well documented in elsewhere as well, that he was, you know, one of the only black people in Dublin.
Yeah.
You know, and that obviously coloured him, excuse the pun. But he was, although he was this front man with all this charisma, there was this sort of vulnerable side to him.
Yeah, I suppose so. But he was very proud of his colour and his race, and he was very proud... we've touched on this before about Phil, but I think he liked that sort of underdog.
Yes.
You know, he liked to be sort of the underdog, and I think that helped him to be the person he was.
Yeah.
But as I say, he was very proud of his skin colour, and he was an amazing person to know, because he was very generous and very.
So you were in Thin Lizzy for how many years?
Well, I joined in 1980. Yeah. My audition was, I think it was 79 or 80 on Chinatown. So I joined when I was just 18, and the band, we split up just at the end of 83. So I call it 4 years.
Yeah.
I like to say it was 5 years, but it was 4 years.
What was the split like?
You know, it wasn't even like a split, right, to be honest. It was a goodbye at Heathrow. We'd been on tour with Whitesnake, Meatloaf, Motorhead and Blue Oyster Cult in
that's some tour.
It was wild. but we've been on tour in Germany and we came back, and as far as we all knew, we were all having a break. I didn't think the band was splitting up. Yeah. There was no official. There was no big bells and whistles. It was just like, see you, Phil. See you, see you, Scott.
Whenever,
see you, Bri. And we all said goodbye at Heathrow, and we just all walked away, got our cases, and it was nothing, it wasn't supposed to be a split. It was almost like it was, as far as I knew, the boys need some time off.
Yeah.
They'd been touring constantly since, you know, probably Live and Dangerous, you know. So they had a lot of work, and they'd been on the show. When I joined, I couldn't get enough of the touring. I was
of course, yeah, they and were
did,
tired. They
and
were
I
tired.
Did three world tours.
Yeah.
And that was on top of what they'd already done since Live and Dangerous. So the guys did need a rest. I could have gone on till today. I mean, that was fantastic. But I know Scott needed a rest. I know Phil needed a rest. And I, as far as I was concerned, we were having maybe 6 months to a year off.
Yeah. We'll play a bit of the music. You're not featured on all of this. I don't think you're featured on this, but you would have played it live, obviously.
Absolutely. Guess many who times. Just got back. Change had much to say, but man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. Told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy. The boys are back in town, the boys are back in town.
You know, if you're in a shop or, you know, and a Thin Lizzy song comes on, how do you feel? How does it make you feel?
Very proud.
Yeah.
And I look round to say, does anybody know? I was on that van.
You're definitely on. You were definitely.
And I started fiddling with my hair.
You were definitely on this one. That's the brilliant piano playing of Darren Wharton, who's our guest on the show right now. That's wonderful.
Thank you, Ray. Yeah.
Yeah.
I played that blindfolded with one hand tied.
Did they re-record that recently? They did a version of it, didn't they? For something.
I think the Cars did it.
Oh, did they? Right.
Yeah. And if the Cars are listening now, I love the band. They're very beautiful ladies. But I wish you would have asked me to play the piano on your single.
Yeah, there you go. You were available. You were available.
I was available. Yeah, I didn't get the call.
What's your favourite Thin Lizzy song?
My favourite Thin Lizzy song, I've got so many. Emerald.
Emerald.
The live version.
Oh, go on.
Down from the glen came the marching men with their shields and their swords. Fight the fight they believe to be right, overthrow the overlord. To the towns where there was plenty, they brought plunder, swords and flame. When they left, the town was empty, and children would never play again.
The Dedication, live at Three Arena. It's happening on the 4th of January 2026. Tickets available at Ticketmaster.ie. And Darren Wharton is telling us about it today. There may be tears. I know you're all sort of rocking men and all that sort of thing, but there may be tears 40 years on. He was only 36.
Yeah, I mean, there will definitely be tears and definitely watered eyes. Yeah, I mean, Phil was, at the time, you know, when I met Phil, he just seemed like a big sort of gigantic rock god that no one could even touch, you know. But obviously, when you look back now in our later years, he was still not a baby, but he was a very young man, you know.
And vulnerable, as I said.
Vulnerable, and you know, and I think he had a lot on his shoulders for what he'd achieved and what he'd become. And so did the rest of the guys. So did Scott and Brian. They were an amazing team.
It's interesting. You get a sense, you know, looking around at people like Ed Sheeran and Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
That they're minded better, they're a lot more well adjusted.
Yeah.
Back then there was no, like, just you were out there wild on your own.
Yeah, and probably, and I also think the music business was a different sort of beast then as well. It was more sort of as people imagined. I mean, the sex, drugs, and rock and roll was real.
Yes,
that was the way of life then, and it was very. You know, the whole sort of scene wasn't just Lizzy. There was many bands into that situation. And it was the whole, you know, I think it just came from the 60s, didn't it? You know, and all that type of thing and love and peace and all that.
Yeah, what could he have given us if he was still alive today? Anyway, the Dedication, live at Three Arena in Dublin, January 4th next year. Darren, loved that conversation. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
That's it from us. Cormac and Sarah are on Drive Time. We are back tomorrow at they still glare. We're back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.